Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back. And it's great to have your company on this Monday here on Archangel Radio. We are delighted to be moving to the segment of this show where we pray together. We've had some very heartwarming stories this morning. We've heard about that wonderful case of that homeless woman in California, formerly homeless. She's now trying to get her life back together. And then the good Lord sweeps in and gives her $5 million. I don't know if she's a Christian or not, but perhaps it'll drive her towards the faith and understanding the goodness of God, the generosity of God, which is something that we forget. And as you heard Sarah Park speaking in the last segment there, the author of Praying with St. Augustine, Sarah Park McLaughlin, she was talking about the need to praise God. And how do we praise God? Well, sometimes it's by asking him for things, trusting in him, trusting in his mercy, trusting in his goodness. And that's what we do at this point every day. And each day I'm joined by a prayer warrior, somebody who comes in and or down the line, and they are offering their time to pray for you here live on air, here on Archangel Radio. So we turn to Reed and ask Reed, who is the prayer warrior today?
In the studio with us, Kevin, is Mr. Richard Cottle.
Richard, welcome back.
Hey, Kevin, how you do?
I'm doing all the better for hearing your sweet tones, Richard. How was your Mother's Day? Was it good?
Yes, it was. It was really good. We have four children, a bunch of grandkids, and they're all got babies and stuff, and they all file through and was worshiping their mama and grandma, and it was just a very, very pleasant day.
That's the way it should be, Richard. Everybody should be enjoying and rejoicing in the great gift of motherhood, which is a great reflection of our mother, our blessed mother, but also the church and the fecundity of life and everything that we hold dear. So absolutely wonderful. And thank you so much, Richard, for coming in today to pray with me here live on air. I hope you've got lots and lots of intentions that we are going to pray for this morning.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Well, just hold them there for a second, because I want to just put out the request again for anybody out there, anybody listening to us. You could be listening on AM, 1410 AM or 94.5 FM, or you're listening on the internet or on the mobile app. You may be listening in the Fairhope mobile area, or you may be listening in Alabama, you may be listening in the United States, or you may be listening abroad. It doesn't matter. We will pray for you, whether you're Catholic, non-Catholic. It doesn't matter. We will pray for you here this morning. And all I can say is, what have you got to lose? Just think about that woman in California when she bought that ticket. And she thought to herself, probably, what have I got to lose? And she won $5 million. Well, we have something even more precious here, which is our Lord, the divine mercy, who, if it's God's will, can give us anything that we can ask for in prayer. Where two or three are gathered together, as the scriptures tell us, they can ask for whatever they want. There's Richard, there's me. That's two of us. What about you? Ask for something and we will pray for it this morning. Anything you want to add to that, Richard? Is there any other way I can convince people that God is merciful and bountiful?
One of the things I've been thinking about, Mr. Kevin, is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you think about our world today and all of the stuff that's going on, but you get it down to a personal level, and you think about, like, this woman in California. Now, she's homeless. She doesn't have anything. And
that's
she,
right.
She trusting and spent her last dollar or whatever to buy her a ticket. And then look at the blessing that rolled out of that. You think about children. They don't fear nothing. They don't know to fear anything because they haven't been taught to hate. They don't understand the word hot yet, you know. But as we get older, then we get all of these pressures. Do I want to be in this group? Do I need to do this? What about I need to do this? And they're afraid and it restricts your what you can do.
That's right.
And well, God, you know, he says, you know, trust in me, and that's all you need to do. But fear keeps you from doing it.
You're absolutely right, Richard. I mean, fear is the absolute opposite to what we keep talking about during this segment of the show, which is about trust. It's about trusting in God, right?
Yeah. I wonder sometimes if this is another way that the devil is working to steal our souls. It's through the internet, the cell phones, the social media, how everybody hurts one another with their words, you know. It's a terrible, terrible time.
Absolutely. But we're not going to let him in this half hour. Instead of talking about his nonsense and his fears, what we're going to talk about is our Lord and trusting in him. The scriptures are saturated with this idea of trusting in God's goodness, trusting in God's mercy. And in particular, we all need mercy. Remember, one of the titles of the devil is the adversary, because he accuses us of things. Whereas one of the titles of our Lord is he is merciful. He forgives us. And that's what this is all about. So I tell you what, Richard, shall we begin, and then I'll come to you for the first decade with your first intentions. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's start. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Richard. That's us up and running. So for this first decade, Richard, who or what would you like us to pray for?
I have a friend, and sometimes he really hurts my feelings, and I don't think he recognizes that he does that. And I don't know how to cope with it, how to correct it without damaging the friendship. Now, he's more important to me than losing him.
Yes.
So I really kind of have to adjust my attitude, understand where he's coming from, and believe in him a whole lot more.
Okay. Well, let's pray this decade for this friend, Richard, and let's pray for this situation. Friends can be like this, okay? A family we have to put up with, but friends sometimes can drive us to the edge and we think, do I need this friendship? But there's a lot of Christians, a lot of saints have written that, that even our friends aren't really chosen by us, but they're chosen by God for us to help us to understand something. And today we're asking for the divine mercy to come into this friendship that you have, Richard, so that somehow the Lord will sort this out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but that somehow he's going to sort this out. And it's going to become a better friendship as a result of us praying for it here today. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and for the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and for the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and for the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Richard. That's our first decade for your friend. And if you ever need prayers in the future for that, and we can be discreet about it, glad to do so. Now, while we've been on air, we've had a text in, Richard, from Sherry. Sherry here at Archangel Radio. Good morning to you, Sherry. And Sherry's asking for safe travels for her son, Luke, who is flying out tonight. The famous Luke. Luke, who is very much part and parcel of this prayer. And Luke, I'm looking forward to hearing about your forthcoming marriage to a very, very attractive young Catholic woman, preferably wealthy as well, who wants to have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 children. And you are delighted as well to join her in that adventure. And Sherry is also asking for prayer for her nieces, Ali and Gracie, who are flying in today. And we also include you, Sherry. We hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day with your boys and with your family and with your own mother, Julie, and pray for you at this time. And also pray for any unstated intentions that you have, any situations, family situations that need to be sorted out. We include those in this decade. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Richard. So that's Sherry prayed for. Now, we have somebody else on the team that needs some prayers. Our wonderful executive producer, Michelle, has a wedding coming up. She has her son, Duncan, who is getting married. So you can just imagine, Richard, how much stress there is on the mother of the bridegroom, getting things organized and sorting things. You must have been down this track yourself many times, Richard.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Stress at maximum. She is. It's so hard to get things coordinated.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, people talk about loving weddings. I've always found them extremely stressful, and I've only been to one of them so far, and that was my own, in the sense that I tend to avoid the weddings a bit. But every wedding I've went to, everybody enjoys it except the family who are organizing it, right?
Right, right. Just like us with that golf tournament. We finally got all that together, and boy, you talk about a relief when it was over with.
Absolutely, absolutely. At least in a golf, you've got the golf club, though, and you can go and relax by the bar for half an hour with everybody enjoy it. Absolutely. Well, look, Michelle, if you're listening, we're praying for you now. We're praying for your son, Duncan. I don't know the name of his bride, but we pray for her as well, and we pray that all will go well, and it will go even better than you can ask or imagine, and you'll think, this is to do with the divine mercy. This is because the whole of the Archangel Radio family are praying for Duncan and his wedding and his bride, and we hope and pray that you have a wonderfully blessed day, a beautiful day, and it goes so much better than you could ever have thought. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and for the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and for the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and for the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and for the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Richard. Now, again, while we've been on air, we've had a text from Luke. Luke in Fairhope, good morning to you. Glad to have your text. And Luke is praying, asking for prayers for all those graduating over the next couple of weeks and those taking end-of-year tests. I don't know if you've got anybody in that situation, Richard. Anybody you know who's graduating over the next couple of weeks or taking end-of-year tests?
No, sir. All of my grandkids that... they all graduated last year from college, and the new ones are not old enough yet, so we've got that coming later on in life, but right now I don't have any.
Okay. Well, whoever's out there listening to this, if you've got any children that you know that are graduating in the next couple of weeks, and we've certainly had a few mothers on talking about their sons and daughters in that situation, we are praying for you this morning and praying that it will all go well. And also, Luke, you contacted us last month about the passing of your grandmother, Betty, and we would like to pray for her as well this morning. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement
for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Richard, and thank you, Luke, for contacting this show. Okay, so it's the fifth and final decade, Richard. We've already got to the end. Can you believe that?
Yeah, no, it went quick. It's been exciting.
It goes so quickly, isn't it?
Yes,
but
you're
absolutely right. I find this exciting because we're helping people. That's what we're here to do.
Yes.
We're here to pray for people. And listen, prayer is the most powerful thing in the whole universe, more powerful than any atomic bomb or hydrogen bomb or anything like that. It can really change lives, change hearts, move hearts in the right direction, cause conversions. So use this time together, and please use this segment. Send us your request. We love praying for you here, because you know, the more we pray for you, the greater joy we have and you have. Because we see the goodness of God. Now, before I forget, Richard, one of the new features of this segment is that we pray for all our guests who come on the show. So I don't know if you heard, we had Sarah Parker McLaughlin on talking about praying with St. Augustine. And I'd like to pray for her. Her book's out tomorrow. Pray for the success of that book, that it will touch many hearts, that she will invigorate a whole new devotion to St. Augustine as a great man of prayer. And St. Augustine, if you're listening, throw some of ask for something for us as well here at Archangel Radio. We could do with some of your prayers. So I'd like to place Sarah and all our guests and all our contributors in this segment, in this decade. And also, while we're at it, we may as well pray for everybody at Archangel Radio, including Ellen, Todd, Sherry, Shannon, Michelle, Mike, Reed. If there's anybody I've forgotten, Todd, everybody else, we're praying for you as well. And everybody, every donor that we had during the pledge drive, and all our listeners out there, you're all included, especially in this fifth decade. So before I come to you, Richard, I'm just going to do a quick sweep of the room. Reed, do you have any requests or intentions during this final decade?
Yes. I have a great-grandson that was special needs. He had scoliosis, and his body was shaped into a C both ways, front and side. And his mom found a surgeon in Missouri. I can fix that. Oh, yeah, yeah. And when I get him fixed, he's going to be 4 inches taller.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, at our Knights of Columbus meeting, I asked all of the guys to pray for him. In 6 hours, the operation was successful, and I talked to his mother yesterday, and by aligning himself like that, he now learned how to eat. He's also learning how to walk. He's learning how to talk. It just transformed his life completely.
Wow.
I think one of the things, and then our pastor mentioned it in the church, and the whole congregation, the whole parish was praying for him. And I think that's what made it. He had absolutely no trouble. He hasn't had any trouble since. So the hand of God just reached down, and healing does happen.
It sure does, Richard. May I ask the first name, the Christian name of that young boy?
His name is Aiden.
Aiden, well, we're going to give thanks for Aiden. We're going to give thanks as this wonderful witness for Aiden and everybody who prayed for Aiden and for his mother and family. We're praying for you now and giving thanks. And thank you so much, Richard, for allowing us to do that. Just before we move to pray, I'm just going to check. Reed, do you have any intentions this morning?
Yes, Kevin. I would love to pray for all fishermen. And just anybody who works on the water, barge workers, shipbuilders. That's a very large part of the economy here in Mobile County.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to pray for anybody who works on the water. And then I would also love to kind of give a prayer of thanksgiving for Sister Margaret at St. Patrick's. She's been the principal of the school there at St. Patrick's for over 40 years, and she's originally from Ireland, and her cloister is calling her back. So this is going to be her last year, and she'll be moving back to Ireland in the summertime. So I would love to pray Thanksgiving that we've had her all this time.
And that's Sister, what's her name again? Sister Margaret.
Sister Margaret, yes.
Sister Margaret. We've prayed for Sister Margaret before. We'll give Sister Margaret my very, very best. And if she ever wants to phone into the show, I'd be delighted to hear about her adventures in Alabama all these years. It would be fun to listen to that.
Sure.
That would be great. Mike, any intentions you want to throw our way this morning?
Yes, I'd like to pray for my family. For my brother and sister, for my mom and dad and their intentions, and also for my boys, Donnie and Jordan, and for Stella and for my wife, Jen.
Wonderful. So we'll pray for the whole Romano clan. That covers everybody and everything.
Yeah.
So we'll pray for everybody connected to Mike in the Romano family, extended family, your mother-in-law, everybody. Pray for them all in this decade. And we'll pray for Sister Margaret and pray for everybody who works on the waters, lives off the waters. Absolutely. It's a very good thing. We ask St. Peter to pray for them. And we'll pray for Aidan and everybody connected with that situation. We'll pray for his family and all those who prayed for him, his pastor, etc. And I'd also like to pray for you, Rich. Richard, in this decade. It's been an absolute pleasure and a joy praying with you here this morning.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your deep concern and for everybody in your life.
Hey, Kevin, one more intention I'd like to add. Also, those who are graduating high school, pray that the good Lord will be with those who are graduating and as they embark on this next journey in their life, whether it be college or a trade,
okay,
or whatever.
We will do that.
And one more thing, Kevin.
Sure.
The St. Michael's School here, Catholic School, is going to have a graduation, and they've asked us to come and do an honor guard for them from the Knights of Columbus this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so excited about doing that. Pray for us that we can make that really special for these graduates.
Absolutely. We will pray for that and pray for all of you knights that will be there, and you will be helping as a form of witness, not just an honor guard, but also a form of witness to these young people as they enter into the world. I think it's wonderful that the knights are there to show them where the true chivalry lies, which is in serving our Lord in whatever way life demands of us. So absolutely, Richard, we'll pray for that. We'll also pray for your family as well at this time. I know you haven't asked for any prayers, Richard, for your family, but we pray for that big family, all those children and grandchildren. Wonderful. May
yes.
The Lord continue to bless them and to bless you.
My wife Louise has pulmonary fibrosis, so pray for her.
Well, we pray for her. We pray for the divine mercy. Miracles do happen on this show, and we pray for that. We pray for you, Louise, if you're listening to this. We give thanks for you and Richard for all your years of witness, and we ask the Lord to be merciful to you now with this illness. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in thee.
O my Jesus,
I trust in thee.
O my Jesus,
I trust in thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Richard, thank you so much for taking time out to come in and pray with us today.
Yes, sir.
Please come back soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is something that is extremely rewarding. It really fills a need within me, and I get to experience the grace of God with you, Kevin.
Good. Well, come back and experience it a little bit more. We're always glad to have you here, Richard.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. When we come back, we will be going story time and finishing the story of the great apostle of California. Stay tuned to Archangel Radio. Welcome back to This Werewolf here on the radio. My name is Kevin Turley. You've tuned in to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And we've just been praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which is so much more real than any werewolf story out there. We've been covering all sorts of things today. We've been talking about St. Augustine, and it suddenly struck me how close we are to Mother's Day. And we're talking about not just St. Augustine, obviously, but also St. Monica, who must be the patron saint for all mothers, especially for mothers whose children have wandered away from the faith. She is the archetypal mother who prayed for her son to return, and look what happened to him. He became one of the greatest saints ever. So don't give up hope. If you're praying for some errant son or daughter, don't worry. God is good and God is all powerful. Let's find out how Mother's Day went down in Alabama. We can talk to Reed and Mike. Reed and Mike, who wants to go first? Who had a wonderful Mother's Day?
My wife Jennifer had a great Mother's Day.
Yes, I did too.
Absolutely. On Saturday, she spent some time with some friends who had gotten a room at the Grand Hotel. It's a nice hotel here in Fairhope, mm-hmm. near Point Clear. And you know, she enjoyed the perks of her friend who got a hotel room and just spent time at the pool, at the beach.
Nice.
And some time alone, so away from the kids. And so and we joined her the following day, just spend time with her, and the kids got to play at the beach and do some fishing. Stella nice. Caught a nice fish. Donnie caught a fish. I caught a fish. Jordan complained that he did not catch a fish, and so
Donnie is a risk to saute that thing.
Exactly. Yeah, well, he caught it. Well, my daughter Stella caught a mackerel, but the thing is with mackerel fish, it's got a lot of mercury in it, so you can't mm-hmm. you can't cook mm-hmm. it. He wanted to, but we looked it up, and it's got too much mercury in it. And so,
how was Edith, by the way, your mother? Did you manage to see her on Mother's Day?
I did not. My mom lives 3.5 hours north in Birmingham.
Okay.
Called her, of course, and wrote something really nice about her in the e-blast, which she said made her Mother's Day. She went out to eat with my brother and his wife and my sister Ashley who came up from Atlanta, so they all had a good time.
And how was Lynn Reed, your mother? Did she have a wonderful day?
Yes, she sure did. We went to Orange Beach, where my family has, not my family, my aunt. They have a condo there at the Carib Resort, and nice. We had dinner there, and then it's right by the beach, so we basically had a beach day, just like you guys, right afterward.
There you go.
That's wonderful. So everybody's very happy by the sounds of things in Alabama. Very quickly, we're going to have to shift over to story time. But very quickly, what would you do? One word, two word answers if you were given $5 million. Let's start with you, Reed. What would you do if you suddenly won $5 million?
Well, my altruistic answer would be certainly I would be looking at starting a children's hospital. Obviously, $5 million. Is barely enough to even make a dent in that sort of thing. But that's kind of what I would be shopping it around to do. But selfishly, I would be interested in owning a sports team, like a minor league baseball team or something of that nature.
Wow. What about you, Mike? $5 million.
Let's see. The first thing I would do is I would buy a Ferrari Testarossa. It's my favorite car.
Wow.
Just being and then awesome. Drive it across the bayway with
across
the wind
way.
Blowing in your hair.
I'm just being
so
honest.
Reed with the children's hospital and you with a sports car. That's
I'm just being
that's
honest.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely. Of course, what I would do is donate all the money to Archangel Radio immediately.
Of course you would.
And on that note, we will go story time. Yes, welcome to Storytime here on Archangel Radio on the Turley Frequency to brighten up your Monday. Now, if you've just tuned in thinking, okay, I'm ready for a story, well, this is part two. This is the second half of the story of St. Juniper Serra, who is the great apostle of California. So I'm afraid if you just indulge me for a moment, I'm going to give a little bit of his backstory to the point that we were up to. So for anybody who doesn't know, he was born in Spain back in 1713, and he became a friar, a Franciscan friar, very young, and then he started to teach. And he taught for many years at one of their colleges on the island of Mallorca, which is off the coast of Spain. And then aged, I think he was 36, he decided to sign up for the mission to Mexico, to the New World, which was the New Spain, which was essentially Mexico and California and other parts of the United States. So he got on a boat, traveled 7 weeks across the Atlantic, and landed at Mexico or on the coast of Mexico, and then got off the boat and decided to walk into Mexico City, which was 270 miles away. And you probably remember the mysterious stranger who kept appearing to him and his two confrères to help him get to Mexico City. And this was a man of few words, but very practical, very helpful. And Sarah later would say that this was St. Joseph. He was absolutely convinced that St. Joseph had helped them get to Mexico City. And then you probably remember that they arrived on the feast, or on the eve of the feast of the 1st of January, which was Our Lady, the Mother of the Church. And what they did was, at Mexico City, they went straight to the Basilica of Guadalupe, and they prayed there. They prayed for the success of their mission. And during that long walk, that 270 miles, Sarah got bitten by a mosquito, and his leg was inflamed. It caused him difficulty walking. And this would be a handicap, a disability he would have for the rest of his life, that he would be marked by this journey to Mexico City. So that's where we begin the second half of this story, with these exhausted friars praying before the beautiful image of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City, having traveled for many, many weeks into this new world, and really probably wondering what they had come to and what the Lord was going to do next with them. Now, initially, what the Lord was asking them to do was to work in Mexico City, because Mexico City, although it was a thriving Spanish colonial place, it was still the center, really, of what was then termed mission territory. And Sarah joined the College of San Fernando, which was a missionary school right in the heart of Mexico City. And the danger, I suppose, for Sarah was that he probably felt that he had come all this way, traveled all these miles over land and sea, simply to be another college professor, this time in Mexico City, as opposed to in the old world in Spain. And that's not what he had in mind and not what he wanted to do. So in 1751, that's about 2 years after he arrived, he volunteered for a particular mission. It was in the Sierra Gorda area. And these were the lands of what were known as the Pama Indians. And he volunteered to go there so that he could preach on missions to that particular tribe, but also to the Pueblo and the Oaxaca peoples who lived in these various regions. So he was a man who wanted to be a missionary. That's why he had come to the New World. He wanted to bring the gospel to people who didn't know of it. Now, looked at centuries later, Sarah's life appears to be a series of callings. Do you remember we talked about this? There was the initial calling to the religious life, which his very impoverished parents had to go along with, even though they knew it was a great sacrifice to them. And then in the religious life, there was another calling, if you like, to the priesthood, and he was ordained a priest. And then through the Franciscans, he became an academic. And then he discerned a calling to the missions and to Mexico and to go to the New World. And then, as we'll find out, the last calling, which was to really be the last calling of his life, was to go to what is today California and to go to the peoples there. The thing about Sarah's life, as in all the saints in a way, it reveals a mysterious presence guiding him. But this mysterious presence and the guidance that it gives are probably easier viewed today when we look at his life, rather than for the person, the saint, who's trying to live it. It's never as easy as it sometimes seems. Because you see, God has a plan for each of us, which is sometimes very different from what we think or what we even expect. And that's only sort of discernible in retrospect. Sometimes you have to get out of the boat for the Lord to act. And if anything, Sarah's life is always about going on, trying something new. Even though he was by no means young by that standard of that time, and he was not in the best of health, but he still felt that God was calling him to do something, he had to try at least to cooperate with that call. What we also see in Sarah's life, though, is that wherever God calls us, he also prepares us for whatever it is that he is mysteriously leading us towards. And as you'll see, do you remember I talked about Sarah being a philosophy lecturer? As you'll see in his missions to California, he needed that understanding of philosophy to really impact his missionary work. But I'm jumping ahead. So he was on the missions at last in Mexico, and then it was in the year of 1769, on the feast of Saint Joseph, that he was asked to go to California, and it was that day that he arrived. And this would be his final mission. Now, by this stage, Sarah had worked very, very hard and was 56 years old. Now, I don't know about you, but at that time of life, one is not exactly disposed to grand new adventures. But I guess in the case of Sarah, it was something that, since leaving Spain, he had known nothing else except adventures. If you read in more in depth his life, you will see that it's constantly going to tribes in distant parts of the world, where he is preaching the gospel, baptizing people, setting up churches, creating community, building the church up in these indigenous peoples. Now, we mustn't get too sort of dewy-eyed about the missions. The missions were part and parcel of the Spanish colonial effort. Now, the missions were good. The Spanish colonial efforts were sometimes not so good, as we know. Just as we know the British Empire or the French Empire, they all had their downside. And one of the reasons that Sarah ended up in California was because the Jesuits had fallen out with the Spanish Empire, and the Spanish kicked them out, expelled them from all their colonial possessions. So the Franciscans were asked to go to California to take over what the Jesuits had now vacated. So that's how Sarah ended up getting sent to California. Now, eventually in that state, he would have established 9 missions in what is today present-day California. And his first mission was at San Fernando de Velicata, and he established that in May 1769. Further north, he founded another at San Diego, and what was left of his life would be dedicated to the missionary effort in this part of what was then termed New Spain. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details of his various missionary activities in California. I'm just going to pick out a couple of things. And the first thing I want to take out is that the first Eucharistic procession in California took place after 1 year after Sarah's arrival. So he arrived May 69, 1769, and the Eucharistic procession took place on June 14, 1770. Now, the Eucharist would be slow in finding a home in California, and that was for a very practical reason. There was a lack of regular supplies of wine. I know. And this meant that the Holy Sacrifice could only be offered infrequently. Initially, while on mission in California, Sarah was to be without the Mass for quite long periods due to the lack of wine. He was far from a brother priest too, and thus deprived of the sacrament of confession as well. All of this proved a great trial to him. It's reminiscent, I don't know if you remember the story we told about Father Damien in Hawaii. Do you remember he had the same problem? Not so much of the lack of wine, but that he couldn't get to confession because he was on an island, a leper colony, and no priests wanted to come to a leper colony and just in case they might catch it, understandably perhaps. So this was part of the trial of Sarah, that he wasn't able always to say Mass, and he wasn't able to confess on a regular basis. So it was the loneliness of being a missionary out in California. He would later write to his superiors about the qualities needed for those who intended to join him in his missionary activities in California. And I quote, he said the following: "Those who come should be provided with a good stock of patience and charity, and their stay will be one of delight to them. It will enable them to amass riches, a wealth of sufferings." Now, I think there's an element of humor probably in that, but he's also pointing out that the missionary life is not for the faint-hearted, and it never has been and never will be. Now, we've talked sometimes about San Francisco in this show and all the negativity around San Francisco. And at the moment, we have a wonderful Archbishop of San Francisco who's doing so much to aid the Eucharistic revival across the United States today. Well, did you know that it was Sarah who offered the first Mass in San Francisco? The first recorded offering, Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, was offered by this future saint on June 29th. 1776. Now, I think of that date, 1776. That's the year, I may be wrong in this, but I think I'm right, that the United States really began to be the United States. Do you remember? I know that because 1976, I remember there was lots of bicentenary celebrations, and we read about them and heard about them and watched them on television this side of the Atlantic. So isn't it interesting? Isn't it a curious coincidence, that word again, that the year that the United States is forming itself into a nationhood is the year that the first Mass is offered in San Francisco by a future saint. Now, by then, 1776, due to improvements in the planting of vineyards across California, Holy Mass was being said more frequently. Have you ever connected the dots here between the way in which California is now known as the great wine-producing part of the United States. I know there's other parts where it produces wine, but California, to those of us outside the United States, is synonymous with wine. And have we ever connected that with the Franciscan missionaries and the reason why they wanted wine to be so plentiful? Because without wine, we can't have the Mass. Now, alongside the vines that were being planted by the Franciscans, so too the apostolic seeds were being abundantly strewn for harvesting by future generations. And it was through the fidelity of men like Serra in his priestly ministry that would create an almost invisible spiritual legacy, a legacy he would never see, that was being sown into the very fabric of the land, one that's represented today by the many vineyards across the state of California. Now, almost from the start, the native peoples of California responded warmly to the gospel message preached by Serra. Over 15 years in the 9 missions he founded, it is reckoned that there were 6,000 converts. 6,000. Here's a quote from him. "Just to see 100 boys and girls of about the same size, to hear them pray and answer questions, being well versed in all the questions of Christian doctrine, to hear them sing, to see them all dressed, to see how happy they are at play and how they run up to the Father as if they had known him all their lives, all this gladdens the heart and impels one to give praise to God." I think that's a beautiful image of the true pastoral heart of this missionary. Now, do you remember I talked about the philosophy that he had taught in Spain, and it was maybe perhaps rather Thomistic philosophy, a bit dry, and how he went off on this adventure to the New World? Well, that philosophy came in very handy, because do you remember I said there was a dark side to Spanish colonialism, and one of the things that the church clashed with the Spanish was in their understanding of the nature of the native people who were being converted to the faith. You see, there was an element within the Spanish colonial setup that didn't quite see them as fully human. It's not that they thought that they were not human, but that they were sort of noble savages, in the same sort of sense that people like Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the French philosopher, had said, that these people were somehow not quite like Europeans. They had attributes, but they were not quite the same. Whereas missionaries like Serra and the church said, not at all. They're not noble savages. These are children of God. They are as much children of God as we are. And through baptism, we can bring salvation to them. So some of the secularists and the rationalists would have said, we must leave these people in their savagery, in their noble savagery. And what Serra and his confrères were saying was, no, we must bring them the gospel. We must baptize them. We must bring them into the kingdom, because they are as loved by our Father God as we are. And that Christ died on the cross as much for these native people as for the peoples of Spain. Now, I'm conscious we're about to run out of time, so I'm afraid I'm just going to have to finish off with talking about Serra's death. He died in 1774, and by all accounts, he was absolutely exhausted. And one of the most touching things I came across about Serra was that throughout most of his life, certainly from when he entered the novitiate, he carried with him a very large cross. It was about a foot long. And each night, especially when he was out in the wilds of his missionary journeys, he would sleep with his arms combined around the cross. And he carried this cross from Spain to Mexico to California. And the day that he died, he had the cross on his breast and he quietly embraced it before giving up his soul and going to meet the Christ for whom he had given so much. I'm sure the Lord said, "Come to me, all you who labor." Saint Serra, pray for us and pray for California. We'll be right back.
Been a great show today, Kevin. What do we have on the docket for tomorrow?
Thanks for asking, Reed. We've got Matthew Alper making return visit. I don't know if you remember, Matthew is a great man for all the sorts of ideas around spirituality and the mind. So we'll be delving into his mind and finding out where he's up to.
I do remember. I believe he was on in 2022.
That's right. And I believe as well that Matthew is not a believer, not yet anyway.
Interesting.
Good. Well, listen, if you've enjoyed today's show, we've enjoyed having you listen to us. And let's do it all again, same time, same frequency tomorrow. So until then, may God bless you and keep you, and may St. Joseph watch over you. And may St. Sarah pray for all the priests within the United States. Until tomorrow, God bless.